Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another episode of our Ultimate Survivor season. And today we are down to the final seven, and we are talking about the great lie. Somehow the first time in this podcast history that we are actually dedicating an episode to the great lie. I feel like we have done so many random episodes in Survivor history, but somehow have never just dedicated any amount of time to talking about Johnny Fairplay lying about his dead grandma and the impact that that had. And not for nothing, for final seven, we had talked about possibly doing Leanne and talking about that, but Johnny Fairplay's lie isn't even like the best part of this episode. It's just the iconic part. This episode from start to finish is so intense. Most F-bombs in Survivor history by a lot. the bleep person paid overtime on this one. Love this episode, The Great Lie from Pearl Islands.
Yeah, Fairplay versus Sandra is like, it's like underrated throughout the whole season. And it's especially cool knowing that like, they have a very similar relationship present day in real life, but like there is love there, but they also totally hate each other and they're so on the same page about it. But man, there are some serious potty mouths. It's kind of shocking that we haven't deep dove on this episode. There are a few episodes throughout the series where we talked about them in the classic Survivor. And I feel like this is as classic Survivor as it gets. But we don't give Johnny Fairplay enough one-on-one attention. So this is the episode for him. I remember looking through our list and I was like, why are we going to talk about the Tijuana boot? And then I was like, No, it's the grandma lie. That's not what this is.
Well, and we've talked about this in the past, but it really does seem like Survivor has become too reliant on the last thing that happens in their episode, which is who gets voted out and why do they get voted out? And that has kind of become the bigger deal in Survivor as we've moved through the years. That's the least important part of this episode. And it's so like most people wouldn't know who was voted out here. And I'm trying to look back through our Patreon because there was that point where we had done our bracket of our favorite of we had our patrons put in their favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. This one was not actually in the bracket. We didn't put it in. None of our patrons voted for it. This one didn't come up. And it's crazy to me because this is one of the best episodes in the show's history, but I don't think it gets the love it deserves because people forget everything that happens around the fact that Johnny Fairplay lies about his dead grandma.
Yeah, that's the thing. And this is a good all-around episode, but I feel like people don't think that it's a good all-around episode. It's like Rupert's gone. It's all about Fairplay. And if you don't like Fairplay, you're going to hate this episode. Mm-hmm. But it's still like this is also a very Sandra episode. Like Sandra doesn't buy it. And that's something that people really don't talk about. And that just makes the whole scene way more brutal, way more uncomfortable. It's really good start to finish. And like you said, I think we've done a good job throughout this series of not just picking an episode that has a crazy wild finish. I think we've actually done the opposite. And I think that says a lot. And I think that's, I mean, at this point in Survivor, they're not even looking at it the way that we look at it now, but he's doing something pretty meta and he speaks in a very meta way that is pretty like forward thinking for a top, you know, a very, very early season of Survivor.
Yeah, he is doing a very good job of being the audience. And I know that's like what meta means, but he's doing a very good job of being the audience because this really was a time when nobody was thinking that way, even in the slightest bit. And in the first 60s, I mean, Sesternino was a little because Sesternino was coming out there and he was definitely milking it a little bit and wanted to be the best player ever. But that was the first person we saw be meta, and Sesternino was doing it in a way that was like, I'm nerdy. I love Survivor. Look at me. I'm going to be the best player ever. Whereas Fairplay wasn't like Fairplay was the evil version of that. He was the dark side version of what Rob Sesternino was. So it's fascinating to see what he's doing in this episode by being like, yeah, we planned it beforehand and blah, blah. Like, we hadn't seen things like that.
Yeah.
Now we just watched a season where everybody had pregame alliances to the point where they had to talk about it. But back then, this wasn't something that people just planned to get in shape before going on Survivor. They didn't plan out, hey, we got to pretend that somebody died so I can get further in the game.
And it's especially impressive, and maybe this is kind of why this is the case. He wasn't a Survivor fan. I think he didn't watch Survivor at all. He was like, you know, famously recruited at a gas station. So I think, and we talk about this a lot, like, what if in present day Survivor, what if you cast people who aren't fans? Because now the game is getting too aware of itself with who plays. He did what I think we are hoping for in present day Survivor. He had an opinion and had a idea of how to play the game in a way that was completely different from what everyone assumed was how to play the game. And he even said, he was like, I want this to be the dirtiest thing ever. Like, I want this to carry on. He didn't care. He liked being a villain.
And all these years later, it's still as devastating and ridiculous that he does this. It's almost like Johnny Fairplay has no problem being a heel, whether it's 1994 or 2021. That doesn't matter. But I think that America in general, the people watching the show, were a little bit more willing to be disgusted back in this time. Mm. And I think, like, everybody was disgusted with Johnny Fairplay at this point, and everybody wanted to punch him in the face.
Everyone loves someone to hate.
Yeah, but that was the thing. And the extent of it was, see, I think what was key for Johnny Fairplay at this time and why this worked so well and why it worked with him getting, like, choke slammed by wrestlers and became such a big deal, I think what worked is there was still a wall between viewers and Johnny Fairplay. Nowadays, there's no wall between the viewers and the players. There is nothing. Anybody can say anything to anyone. You can break down that wall in no time. There is no separation. When Johnny Fairplay played, this was water cooler talk time still. And so when the dead grandma lie happened, everybody got around and had water cooler talk. And that was the extent of your opinion. That was the extent of how everything went down. You didn't have, and Johnny Fairplay didn't actually have to hear it from people unless they ran into him on the street. So I think America was a little bit more willing to be disgusted, but I think somebody like Johnny Fairplay was a little bit more willing to put themselves out there as a straight up asshole because there was nobody who was really going to attack him. He'll tell you he's been punched in the head, blacked out, all that stuff. But it would have been so much worse had he done this in the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what makes it like so much better is that production didn't really know how to deal with it either, because, like, to go through the actual logistics, it's like they know they have to approve who's coming in advance, but Jeff doesn't approve what he's going to say to him. And you even see, like, Sandra doesn't buy this. Jeff is pissed. Jeff does not like this at all. And I don't know if he doesn't buy it. I don't really know the backstory, but he's, like, not feeling bad. He is very stone-faced. Do you know, like, what the background is on this?
Yeah. So he thought that Fairplay's grandma died when this was said. Like, they actually worried about it. What they didn't want to do, and what Jeff was trying not to do, this was before Jeff would blatantly influence the game of Survivor.
Yeah.
Now he has no problem saying, I'm going to go, and Courtney, how are you still in this game? And it's like, thanks, Jeff. Like, what the hell? But back then, like, he didn't want what happened with Fairplay to actually influence the challenge that was about to come up. So he was trying to stay as neutral as possible while also the rest of production is like, oh my God, we got to call the Fairplays, you know, or the Daltons at the time. We got to call them
an art consultant, actually, Phil.
Yes, the art consultant. They got to call that family and figure out what's going on, but they didn't know. And I think Jeff wanted to stay neutral because we're about to do the family challenge. Like, even at this point in Survivor history, this was an incredibly popular thing. This wasn't something that grew over time. This was probably more popular back then, and now it's just been overblown. But, like, he wanted this challenge to still run as a challenge. He didn't want this to be everybody feel bad for Johnny Fairplay. Granted, that was what was going to happen, and that is what ends up happening, but it wasn't because of Jeff that this happened. It was because of the way the other players reacted to it.
Yeah, and let's talk about the way the other players reacted to it. Sandra immediately chops down Thunder D. And Lil, bless her heart, is like, oh, how could you? Bah, bah, bah. And I love the cut to like her holding Fairplay's hand because you know how much he hates her.
Yeah.
But he has to play up how upset he is. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I think with Lil and Fairplay, those are two people who have no business being in the same room with each other at any time in history because they are complete opposites. And Fairplay is a con man and Lil is pure as can be.
Yeah.
And the con man's always going to take advantage of the pure as can be person. It's the same reason why these scammers will call old people, because old people are easier to take advantage of. And Lil was easier to take advantage of. Sandra, she doesn't give an F. She doesn't care at all about Johnny Fairplay, about Johnny Fairplay's grandma, about anybody else out there. She wants to see her husband, and that's all she cares about. And I love Fairplay's reaction of like, well, it'd be nice if some people would like let me get some information. And she's just like, I don't care. Like, I'm here to win. I don't like you. You just screwed me over last night. Like, get the hell out of here. And I love that. I love that we have these two personalities butting heads, because without Sandra, Fairplay gets away with too much.
Completely gets away with it.
Yeah. And without Fairplay, Sandra doesn't have as much time to shine because there's nobody. They needed each other. They're the Joker and Batman. You know, they were made for each other.
Yeah, they're so good together. And like you said, I don't want to go fully out of the episode yet, because this is a ridiculous family visit. First of all, amazing involvement with the loved ones. I feel like I loved in Thailand where they made the loved ones do the gross food eating challenge, but this is way better because you can still get a little like strategy and hurt feelings out of it. But there's a few people to talk about here. And T has someone come out who Jeff describes as high school sweetheart and still a great friend. What does that mean, Phil?
There's a movie with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher. I'll tell you everything you need to know about that. All you need to know is the title of the movie, friend. That's all you need to know.
See, that's I thought he means. Just got friend-zoned like nobody's ever been friend-zoned before.
Is that the Natalie Portman one? That's the Natalie Portman one.
There's two
one.
Of them. There's the Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake and then Natalie Portman and
Well, which one's Friends with Benefits and not No Strings Attached? That's the stupid one.
I forget which one. I genuinely forget which one's which.
So No Strings Attached is Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher. So the one with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis is the movie here, friends. But anyway, go ahead.
There we go. I thought he got violently friend zoned, but we could. I mean, he very well could be in both. And Dara and her boyfriend know nothing about each other, and it is unclear if they're still together.
I told Alexa while I was watching this, I texted her and said, I demand Paramount Plus and I demand all of the box sets of this to now change. You know how like Star Wars edited it? So now Jabba the Hutt is whatever, or who shot first or all that stuff.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So I demand that when Jeff says, Dara, here's your boyfriend, Bradley, it's Bradley from Ghost Island who comes running out. And then every time that they get a question wrong, rather than showing Dara, Dara's Bradley being pouty, it's Bradley from Ghost Island. But every time it gets wrong, his mouth gets smaller like that meme was. That is what I demand happens. Otherwise, Survivor Pearl Islands is a bottom five season all time.
This season is trash.
I need that. Because not for nothing, Dara has the least personality on this season and her boyfriend does too. Please give me Bradley's shrinking mouth. That will make everything better.
Nothing better has happened on the internet than whoever made Bradley's mouth smaller and larger based on however many weeks he survived.
Oh my gosh, it's the funniest thing. All right, what else
anyways,
you got?
This Bradley knows nothing about Dara and she also knows nothing about him.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right, what else? Who else you got from there?
Those were my favorite. Like everyone else was, I mean, Lil's husband is like exactly, they're the exact couple that you imagine they're going to be. But I love having them walk the plank. I think there's just what we do now with family visits is it's just so boring. Like having them, I like them interacting, but I feel like this is a way for them to still talk. They can still like laugh at each other and communicate. Because I hate when Jeff is like, you hug them and now we'll go walk 30 feet away and you can't make eye contact with them. There's still a little bit of like social strategy to it. It's always going to have implications for the immunity challenge. I just think this was a very well done challenge. And I really like the immunity challenge, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I really do hate what they've done with the family visit. It's like I don't know, Lil and her husband, that's the one that makes you cry in this episode. Like, that's what's ridiculous about it. And in the new one, they try to make you cry with all of them. And like, it's just weird. Like, it's so forced at this point. And not for nothing, like, seeing reunions of people with their family members for 40 seasons gets stale. It's not as exciting as it was. And like,
it's never going to be Shane's son running out in Panama.
Ever. Like, it's just never going to happen. And that's the biggest problem. Like, instead of going for the heartfelt thing every time, sometimes you just need Terry and his wife. Sometimes you just need Eric and his brother. Sometimes you just need Coach and his assistant coach. Like, those are the more memorable ones. And it's more memorable when they're the ones who are being forced to participate in the challenge. That's when Survivor is, the family visit is at its best. So I am very much like in agreement with you. I love this. I love when the loved ones have to do something. I just rewatched Vanuatu. That was the last season I watched. That is so exciting to watch them have to do what they have to do. Like, they've gotten so uncreative with this. And look at the moment it leads to. It leads to Johnny Fairplay brainwashing his entire tribe to let him go back to the island with Thunder D while they have to go to this crappy island that isn't even inhabited. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, and Eggy, hello.
Yes.
Just comments, when is it war is an exception is for obvious reasons. It was an exception to this. I don't want to see it again. Because it just doesn't mean anything when it's people you don't know. But I really like this challenge, and I think it obviously like carries through, and the reward is also like not great. And I remember watching early seasons with my family. My mom was like, Alexa, if you go on Survivor and I'm your loved one and we win, I don't want to go back to camp with you. Like, no. That sounds awful. Like, I don't want to sleep at camp. And it's kind of like doubly bad because Fairplay and Thunder D go back to camp, and then everyone else has to like make a new camp somewhere else for one night. So it's like, how much effort do you actually put in? But that's the kind of sloppiness that I miss from old school Survivor. Like, everything is obviously, and like with good reason, like so perfectly planned out now. But I kind of liked when things were cut, like not as exciting as they could have been, or like not as great of a reward as they could have been.
Yeah, well, or the rewards, they're unique. They're things that you're actually going to remember. Now they don't feel unique, so they've kind of lost their excitement, which is unfortunate. And just talking about things that like Survivor would never expect. Think about the beginning of this episode when Sandra comes walking in and dumps out the fish, and then Krista gets blamed for it. One of the most ridiculous moments.
Brutal.
I mean, this is brutal how this whole thing plays out, but. You know, now it's almost like Survivor tries to antagonize people or whatever it is. And then people will go out there and they'll be like, I'm going to dump the rice like Scott Pollard did, or I'm going to dump the rice like Jatia did. Sandra just did it because she was pissed off. And I think there was just something so much more natural. Sandra dumping the fish, everybody blaming Krista because of groupthink, Krista reacting the way she did, Fairplay lying about his grandma. It's all just real people acting the way they would in their regular lives. And that's like, that's the biggest thing missing from the 30s and the 20s of Survivor.
Yeah. These are just crazy people. Like, Sandra is wild after this vote out. And she's like, you know what? You want to vote out Rupert, then you don't get to eat Rupert's fish. Like, she just like genuinely believes that. When, you know, at some point on season 41, someone's going to be like, I am going to try to mess with their heads by throwing out the fish. And this is what it's going to do for me strategically. Sandra was just pissed. And Krista never recovers from this.
No, never.
She never, until she goes home pretty much for this reason. And it is absolutely brutal that Sandra lets it happen.
Yeah, no. And Sandra, I mean, Sandra doesn't. She can't help Krista. I mean, they get through this one week where Tawana goes home, and then what? There's really nothing that she can do about it. So, yeah, it's just so interesting to watch it because Fairplay was doing this, and I said, okay, this is him being natural. But while he was being naturally Johnny Fairplay, and he was going to come out there and lie about this, Fairplay had planned beforehand, how do I become infamous? Sandra didn't. And I think that's why I love this fish moment so much, because this is when Sandra starts playing the game. Up until Rupert goes home, Fairplay's right. She's riding Rupert's coattails. She's doing whatever Rupert tells her to do. Rupert goes home, Sandra starts to play Survivor, and she starts to play it so incredibly well, to the point where she votes with the guy she hates the most on this season so they can get through a vote together to get rid of Tawana, which is ultimately what propels Sandra to winning the game. Because if they had gotten rid of Krista, Sandra's not going to survive on her own enough weeks. But by getting rid of Tawana, when Krista goes, all Sandra has to do is say, girls, let's get rid of Burton because he's going to win the whole damn thing. That's all she had to do. And look how well it worked.
Yeah. And I forget how much I like Burton. Burton is he's a great character. He's like, he's an awesome combination of cocky, but not obnoxious, like great narrator, very level-headed in his thinking. I really like Burton, and I don't particularly need to see him again because he got like beyond a second chance, but yeah. he's such a great addition to this season. And he's probably the like fifth most interesting person.
Yeah. But he's if you think about the men on this season, there's no normal guy because Savage and Rupert had to be the leaders. They had to. They didn't have a choice. With the way their tribe shaped up, they had to be the leaders. Austin is psycho. Rhino is like bland. Yeah, like I like Rhino, but Rhino just doesn't really do much. And then you have Fairplay, who is Fairplay. When that merge hits, you have Rupert, Savage, Rhino, Burton, and Fairplay. Burton is the only one who is normal out of that group. He's the only one who can be both compelling and you can see yourself in him. Yeah. And it sucks that Burton is voted out before the merge, because if he's not, then Burton is incredibly well-loved in this community. But because he got voted out before the merge and was part of the Outcast twist, he's more forgettable than Lil, and everybody will shit on Lil, but just because he's not getting shit on, he's just kind of getting ignored because he's always going to have that asterisk next to his name.
And yeah, that's and what you're sucks right. For Burton. He's like second to Lil, and in his alliance, he's obviously second to Fairplay. Mm-hmm. But what's good about him is he's like the main character in a TV show. Like in Schitt's Creek, he's David Rose, because you need a normal person to level set the craziness, and it makes you appreciate the people who are crazy that much more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he is a challenge beast, and you think he takes this one home, but he certainly does not.
No, Dara is actually the challenge beast on this season. I think Dara wins three immunity challenges on this season.
Yeah. And wins it because of a liaison.
Yeah. This is one of those just like weird moments in Survivor history that would never happen now, because now you have so many rules and regulations, people out there and blah, 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 and everybody's doing whatever they're doing. And back then they were still kind of trying to figure it out. It's almost like when I think about the first season of Survivor, like there's just certain things that aren't even, you know, in early seasons, there's certain things that aren't even. And like at this point, Survivor's starting to get a little bit more even. I think it's after All-Stars that it really starts to become even. But it's very interesting the way that this one plays out.
Yeah, I do wonder if they would do this in modern Survivor. I actually think they would, because of the whole, I mean, the Wendell and Wendell and Laurel who were going against each other in that immunity challenge, mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. Wendell thought he won and it was actually Laurel who wins. I think they do correct it, but I think it's crazy that they are walking back and they are like en route to the commercial break. And I completely forgot that this was this episode, but I don't know who decided to check that. I would love to know the backside of that.
Yeah. I mean, there had to have been someone who it was like, yo, you're going to lose your job if you don't tell us that. Cause like, I mean, that there's,
that you changes know,
$1 million on the line. I mean, if Burton wins that, Krista probably goes home because Tawana never really gets her chance to do anything. And they say, well, screw it, we're just going to vote out Krista because Fairplay has no reason to try to change the vote. So Krista probably goes home in that situation. I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, it also helps Dara right off. She does win three. She wins three straight. She wins every single challenge that is remaining that Burton is in the game. That's crazy in terms of immunity. So
that is pretty crazy.
If Burton wins this, it totally changes the entire shape of Survivor. Had this not been caught, Sandra probably doesn't win the season because Krista goes home at Final Seven. Love shit like this. I just love it.
We do love this. This would be, I mean, this could be a good retro idea. We talk about this stuff all the time. And I saw this on Survivor Reddit recently, but it's like, what are some of the biggest ripple effects? And it's like, mm-hmm. there's the John Carroll boot, there's the Lex boot. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot, but this one is pretty underrated just because it is, this is a production matter. This isn't a like, oh, well, if I decided to vote for person Y instead of person X, this is a mistake.
Yeah. And I think the biggest, I think production, not interference, but like production errors or errors that almost were, that would be ripple effects. I mean, we think about, like, we talk about that stuff all the time. And yeah, it's not who voted out John Carroll, but you know, when Big Tom and Lex get screwed out of the piercing thing, because at the finale, they figure it out. Like, that has a ripple effect because Ethan goes on to win and Big Tom and Lex go on to play All-Stars, and that all happens because, like, you start thinking about those things and it'll never stop because it's the butterfly effect of Survivor. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. I mean, if Burton doesn't come back into the game, does Johnny Fairplay even get to the point where he could tell the lie about the dead grandma?
Probably not. Yeah. I want to point out that I actually have seen the movie The Butterfly Effect. I feel they need to bring that up.
Two Ashton Kutcher references in one night, huh?
What a thrill it's been.
I know.
They also, now that you said that, I'm sure that the reason they double checked this is because they have had a few, at this point in early Survivor, they've had a few mm-hmm. major situations mm-hmm. with challenges going wrong. So I'm sure they are quadruple checking everything.
Yeah. And it was getting to that point. I mean, and granted, they didn't really double check the fact that people had a extra rope for their for tying their knots. Just saying. So that's what happens in the beginning. This is what happens in the end. But I love the way, so Fairplay tells the lie. Sandra dumps the fish. Rupert goes home in the episode before this. It's the after effect of all of that. What I love, though, is that once they realize that there's a really good chance that once Fairplay realizes that Burton's going to go, he does everything he can. And we almost never hear from Burton about how Burton feels about it. But it's Sandra and Fairplay who are coming together and uniting to say, screw it, let's do it. Because out of everybody who has ever played Survivor, I really think that Fairplay and Sandra might be the two most stubborn people who have no problem telling you that they hate you, but will also say, you know what? I'm looking out for me, and that's all I can do. And in this moment, they had no choice. And it works. Really, it works for both of them because Fairplay goes on to be third. Sandra goes on to win the game.
Yeah, it's like the original iteration of voting blocks of as long as it ain't me. And it's way more unspoken. And again, that's why it's better. But that's Sandra's whole mantra. Like, I'll do whatever as long as you don't vote me out. And Fairplay doesn't really give a shit either.
No, he doesn't care at all because Johnny Fairplay, like he shows in this episode, even at the tribal council, I always think about like when he's like, look, Jeff, I've had a rough couple dates. He is just milking it. I mean, he's already told the audience that he's a dick and he's still going to lean into it as hard as he possibly can just so that everybody goes, oh, I hate this guy. Like he doesn't care because that's what's going to get him further in the game. That's what's going to win him this game. And Sandra, you know, Sandra's the same way. What's going to get her further, working with Fairplay or voting out Burton? Probably working with Fairplay, because if she votes out Burton here, now Fairplay can just be like, I'm a rogue agent. Lil, let's go. Dara, let's go. Tawana, let's go. It's not like Krista and Sandra had great relationships with Tawana and Dara at that point. We very much had three alliances at this point and Lil just being told by all three of them that she was in their final three.
Yeah, and it ends up being true. I mean, Lil is, I guess, I don't know if she's like the original dragged because she wasn't like as obviously dragged as other people, but I feel like she's, I'm trying to think before I actually say this out loud, but one of the original like straight up goats.
Because Clay Jordan isn't dragged as much as people think Clay Jordan was dragged, even though he would be the closest to it. She is definitely dragged the most. Although Rob Cicerino was dragging everybody through Amazon. He just didn't get to the end with the people he dragged.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I think that ended up hurting him. But yeah, no, I don't think anybody's really ever been dragged because even Kim Johnson wasn't really dragged to the end.
No.
The boys worked with her, but she still gets two votes at the end and had Kelly Goldsmith. I think Kelly Goldsmith doesn't vote for her because it's like the graduate number thing. Might have ended up getting three votes at the end. So
yeah. And Lil gets just T's vote, I think.
Just T's. Yeah. And I think it's because T feels bad for her or something.
Yeah. There's always that one vote.
I don't blame her. There had been no shutout in Survivor history up to this point, so why start there?
Very true.
Yeah, so yeah, this episode though, like that's the one thing I will say to people. If you're going to like talk about this episode, you're going to talk about this season in general, just remember all the greatness that goes on around this and remember that this episode is the day after Rupert gets voted out.
Yeah.
Like that is what's even more amazing about this is the biggest character in Survivor history up until that point had just been voted out of the game. And you still get this epic of an episode with everything that's going on and probably the most memorable episode of the entire season.
Yeah. You don't even need Rupert. And actually, I mean, everyone here knows how I feel about watching Rupert, but it's all this, like the attention is a little more disseminated now. There's this leaves more space for Sandra, more space for Krista to be incredibly upset. Mm-hmm. No more space for Dara. She's had enough. And just a lot for Fair Play.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Fair Play runs with it. And even Burton. I mean, even Burton has his moments in this episode. Burton and one of my favorite moments this episode is Burton and Fair Play sitting there while Sandra and Tawana come over. Sandra's got her first iteration of the Spy Shack and she's just sitting there like, I told you. And it's just them sitting there and they're so cocky and they're so confident. But what I like about Burton is because he's teamed up with Fair Play, even though he's cocky and confident, he doesn't come across as cocky and confident.
He's like the good cop. Like,
yeah, he comes across as the good cop, even though if he was with a normal person, he would sound like such a dick.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. He couldn't be more normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is what works.
Yes, yeah, Sandra, the original Spy Shack. And she, I like her, the method of show, don't tell, because anybody can say, oh, well, this person wants to get you out. But the showing is a total game changer.
Total game changer. Absolutely. And it works because Tawana changes. It's just funny that then Sandra ends up backstabbing her immediately after. Because yeah. Tawana was ready to work with Sandra. It just wouldn't have been as long term as what Sandra wanted. So I don't know. Sandra and Fair Play, they're just out for themselves. And that's what makes the season so damn entertaining because they both make it so far by being out for themselves.
I know. And they're unapologetic about it. And they're lovable in their own very, very odd ways. Mm-hmm. This is such a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And just remember, even when they're having that conversation at the very end, the two of them are sitting there going, I hate that MF-er. They suck. Like they can't just say, I hate them. They have to call them an MF-er. They have to call them an, like whatever. They have to do it. The two of them just cannot help themselves. They just have to do it. And it's so funny. They're like an old married couple.
They're the old married couple that just, they hate each other more than old married couples hate each other, but they're still married. Like it's so good.
It's so good. But all right. Anyway, so that's The Great Lie, which was tonight's episode.
Episode seven.
I know. So we're down. We have 6, 5, and 4 left. All we got left in this series.
We are not doing final three as we discussed earlier.
No, we are not talking about Survivor Australia's final three, which is dreadful. So we got 3 episodes left. That's it. Alexa, what are we doing next week?
We were not divided, but this one actually had a lot of good options. We were thinking Edge of Extinction finale. We were thinking Ghost Island finale. Second place was the Panama 3-2-1 vote, but we've already talked about how Suri has been violently robbed, and we also have rewatched Panama. We are going to Survivor the Amazon, and we are going to talk about Sour Grapes, which is the Christie boot. The final 6 of Survivor Amazon. Tune in next Monday for that one.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I always love that episode. Poor Christy. She was in such a good spot. And then she just shoots herself in the foot as hard as she can. But yeah, I love this episode. Very excited about it. Couldn't give Suri. We can't just sit here and talk about Suri all the time. Plus, like Alexa said, if you haven't watched our Survivor Panama rewatch and you're rewatching Survivor Panama, go check out our rewatch. We go 3 episodes at a time through that one. So it actually clicks off pretty fast. And it was a fun time. That was a couple summers ago now. But the craziest thing is, at the time of recording this, we are 6 weeks away from the Survivor premiere. 6 weeks. That's all we have left after this dreadful, dreadful offseason. We only have 6 more weeks. That is crazy. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Lexa and I are doing daily content. Day 200 is August 19th, so make sure to get in there before then. This will go up until September 1st, and then we're going to kind of taper because then we're into the preseason. So, you know, become a $20 patron. Enjoy it. There's so much content. You have a plethora. That's what I'll just go with there.
A plethora? But what a
word. All about season 41, all about season 42. Right now it's more about season 42, but season 41 is going to be our whole last 11, 12 days of this stuff. And yeah, that's it. Look forward to talking about Christie's boot next week. I always love that one. And finishing this thing off. Only 3 weeks of this left, and then 3 weeks until the season starts. That is crazy.
It is crazy. I cannot believe we're pretty much at the finish line. Great.
Pretty much at the finish line. Let's start limping across. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Oh my gosh, what did you just do?
You didn't see it? Thunder.